and joining us, and we love our time to hang with this guy. He's brought those by the bagster. That's right. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today. Home Depot and Lowe's. Details at bagster.com. He, of course, is the lord of the afternoon on radio and television. Must see every day. Must listen every day. 2 o'clock. He, of course, the great Mikey Miss on the Comcast Business Hotline. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, boys.
I got a good one for you today.
What do you got?
All right. So I'm curious. I'm trying today to get you and the bro into a brawl. All right? So I'll begin with your thoughts on Gabe saying pass for Carlos Santana.
Pass.
Yes, Carlos messed up royally yesterday.
Yeah.
Of course, right? And then the manager just said, listen, I give him a pass. He's earned the pass.
Well, listen, Gabe Papler doesn't say anything about anybody. So it doesn't surprise me that he wouldn't say anything about a veteran, especially a guy that they invested a lot of money in, because then he makes his front office look bad. Gabe's all about playing the baseball games. You know what the baseball games are, where you don't criticize people?
Well, but the last manager was that guy.
Well, the last manager
was really that guy. He just didn't want to offend anyone, including the media.
But Gabe is Mr. Friendly too. He's not the type of guy that's going to be. See, he was like the ultimate teammate, right? So he wouldn't criticize anybody. He was everybody's friend, and he's not going to be different as a manager. He wants those guys to like him. The last thing he wants to do is rip into a veteran who's had a track record of success in the league. It's just, nothing that he does surprises me. The way he explains things is amusing to me.
Hey, real quick, Mikey.
Are you playing in traffic?
Where are you at? Are you, like, at the show?
No, I'm in my backyard. I'm babysitting 2 Shiba Inus that are going crazy. Yeah, the cars are going by. You want me to get in?
My God.
I'll go inside.
We were just worried about your well-being.
I was just shocked.
You were dodging trucks.
It's like morning rush hour traffic.
Yeah, but I didn't realize your street was that busy.
I was throwing... I live on
17th Street. I was like shocked.
I was throwing the ball to 2 Shibas, and there's like rush hour traffic beyond my backyard.
All right.
Now we're good.
All right. So when you think of this thing, though, I'm curious how you would have handled it, because remember, it comes the day after Franco messed up and threw the ball into the stands. He thought it was the last out.
Yeah, well, they make mistakes like that. But again, if the manager criticizes them, like, what's the good that comes out of it? Because it's not his personality. You got to be your own personality. Like, if Bo is a manager, he criticizes guys. There's certain guys, like Kepler's Mr. Sunshine. He doesn't criticize anybody.
Is that good?
Well, I mean, they're 12 games over 500. So far, it's good.
Yeah, but does that change? I mean, you're 12 games over 500. You're in first place. You're playing for a playoff spot. If these things come up, cost you games.
Yeah, I get it. But here's the thing. Kepler played a lot of years in the big leagues, right? He was, like, considered the ultimate teammate.
Right.
He was a guy, like, he's looking at it like I would not like to be. I know what I did was wrong. So, like, the worst thing anybody can do is reiterate what I did was wrong, because I already know it. I'm a baseball professional. It's like Carlos Santana's been in the league for a long time. He knows he did wrong. So what good is it for Kepler to say he did wrong?
No, you're right. My concern, Mike, is that down the road, something happens, and say he does come out at a press conference and says, yeah, you know what, we got to start playing smarter. Well, that might be a throwaway line with a lot of guys, but if he says it now, it's like, oh, my God, he's criticized. I don't know. The more you keep praising, does that one criticism, when it comes, how does that affect
everybody?
I don't
think the criticism is going to come ever with this guy.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That he, being the ultimate teammate in the locker room, it's just not his M.O. now to change his stripes. He's thinking, I would look like a phony if I did that, because I was Mr. Congeniality in a locker room.
Yeah, but again, I don't think it's a big deal to say, hey, look, man, well, I think we've had a great first half. We're kind of limping. I think we need a little bit of a break. Get guys, mentally back on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at least
he can do a Chris Wheeler and say, well, nobody feels worse about that than Carlos.
Oh, my God.
Remember this?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Nobody feels worse about that than Carlos. Well, I feel worse about it. I'll be honest with you. Carlos gets $20 million check. I don't get anything for that.
That's the truth. All right, so here they are. They are 11 games over. 553-42, half game ahead of the Braves, atop the NL East. So, talking to the bro, we're doing the Manny deal. You and I are always going to differ on this. Yeah, like I'm not giving up.
I don't know. I have to get into this with you because I'm not sure what you're afraid of.
Yeah, so you use the word afraid, and that. Like, goes up my ass.
Where would you use?
To me, it's not being afraid, it's being smart. Because I think trading away your best prospect for a rental piece is foolish.
Well, you're presuming it's a rental piece.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because I can go get him after the season. We can, in both scenarios, we can both wind up with Manny.
So, listen, I know here's your stance is that even if they got Machado, not good enough to win the World Series. There's a lot of merit to that argument. But there's also, you never know what can happen. And this might be one of those charms. Like, who would have thought
that? So you're on the bro at the same time. Because this is where I want to get you at. So the bro goes, if they get Machado, they can beat the Cubs. And I think that's crazy.
I don't, because the Cubs are a better team than the Phillies, but they're not like the same Cubs. They you have to allow for a team to have a little attrition, right? Their attitude. Everybody want it, so like the edge to win is a little filed down, and I think you can get caught sleeping that way. And if the Phillies need,
are you and a bro walk alike? I don't see it.
Well, they need to put offensive pressure on a team. A guy in the middle of the lineup like Machado makes the third hitter better, makes the fifth hitter better.
That was my question to you, Mike. How much does Machado make a bunch of right now?
So 250
hitters
goes to 230.
Well, he does. They get better pitches. They get better pitches. They get a little more discipline. He's a stabilizing force. They know he's going to pick them up offensively with big hits. It makes a world of difference in your lineup when you have a guy like that. They don't have a guy like that.
Yeah, well, but again, you're right. We've been saying it. I've been saying it. They need bats.
Well, what are you afraid of?
And I agree. So being afraid of, I don't think they're good enough with Machado right now.
They make themselves almost good enough, right? And you never know what can happen. And then I think that once the kid gets involved in a pennant race, and if they get deep, if they win a series, he looks at it and goes, man, this team's the next step we're in. Like, I don't understand what you're saying.
He's going to sign to the biggest money, and Middleton's got the money. That's my point. So it doesn't matter. So you want to trade your top prospect to go get him.
Yes, because you were discounting this year. Why?
Because I can see they're not good enough to win anything this year.
I
can get the player next year. And, by the way, those prospects that you just want to throw away, they're the ones that get you Cliff Lee and Roy Halladay when you're really a contender.
Guys, you covered baseball. You were a beat writer. Baseball, as Bill Campbell would say, is a goofy, goofy game. And things can happen in baseball like no other sport. I just think that you owe it to your fans to do the best you can and maximize the gift that you got this year.
And you know what? In the Astros, everybody wants to throw away prospects until you have none, and the Astros go build a winning World Series on them.
Yeah, but they also made some trades.
They won the World Series by stockpiling prospects.
They didn't trade
their prospects before they were ready.
Did you see the documentary on the 2008 Phillies last night?
I did.
No.
They
I did
added guys. They Pat Gillick strategically added guys. He went out and got Brad Lidge.
Okay. The core of 08 was prospects. You gonna argue that?
Yeah, I get it, but he also added important pieces.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not saying never to trade prospects and add, but they're not at that point yet. This isn't 2007.
Listen, we're not going to agree on this. I am in a mindset now. I have.
All you want to do is just throw away the future now.
I'm not a future guy anymore. I've had a taste of winning.
What happened with the Roaring Twenties? You're all about the Roaring Twenties. It's 2018.
This city is the Roaring Twenties. By 2000.
No, you didn't. Stop. Stop mixing words.
I said
it was
by
the Roaring Twenties. No, stop.
I didn't say the year 2020.
Stop.
By 2020, two contenders, two champions.
Get out.
By 2020.
2020, because we both said
I don't understand this conservatism. Did you turn right wing when I went to the last night? I don't get it. You're a left wing guy.
All right.
You're a leg guy.
Wing. Finally, I had a dream.
You had a dream?
Yeah, I was a little bit... D-Dali, as they say, Saturday night.
You were D-Dali?
I was D-Dali Saturday night. Very much so. And I don't know if it was the D-Dali or if I left myself open to someone trying to tell me something.
Uh-huh.
And the answer came.
What was it?
Klay Thompson.
Klay Thompson's been signed with the Sixers in 2018.
Yeah, 2019.
I don't think Klay Thompson's been east of the Mississippi in his life.
I'm telling you.
He's not an East guy.
Klay. Why is he not an East guy?
He's not an East guy.
What Kawhi Leonard is? So all the guy wants to talk about is go play in L.A., San Diego, L.A.
Well, you know, there's a Brett Brown connection.
But he's an East guy.
If he comes Clay's in now, then he knows that they're good. There's a lot of factors. You ignore the factors.
There's no factors. You over-exaggerate the factors.
You overplay all the stuff. I have lived in this town for a really long time with this mentality about what can go wrong. Now I have flipped my brain. And like I said, this is my mission before I either retire or die. I am going to change the mindset of Philadelphia.
I don't even understand this whole thing.
Go for it now. It's going to be on my tombstone.
Because that's how you've lived your life, right, Mike?
I have decided. I talked to the sculptor already, the chiseler.
The first thing
I'm putting on there is I told you I was sick, and then the second one is go for it.
I told you I was sick,
and then underneath that, let's go for
it. Depressed. Mike, real quick, last one thing from me. Chase Utley, Hall of Famer.
You know, I'm on the fence about it now. I know Anthony thinks no.
I think no also.
The hit total, I looked at these analytic stats playing the play, like this war stat.
Yeah, that's
really
what bro's
good.
Going on.
His, like, 5 years were better than him. He's got 250 home runs and X amount of whatever.
And real quick, Mike, he's the most efficient base stealer in the history of baseball with a minimum of 100 steal attempts.
Yeah, did you see what Keith Olbermann said about him?
He can go pound sand.
You know, he's right.
What did he say? I didn't see that.
You got to check out his tweet about Chase Utley. You know, he said he's a dirty player. He did this.
Yeah.
You got to check that out. And he's absolutely right. He was a dirty player.
It's all right. I like that.
Yeah, well, it's not.
I say physical.
I like it.
I don't like dirty players.
Stop.
I know.
Oh, give me a break. You're a dirty player.
You don't stick a knee in front of
the dude, you're the dirtiest player ever. You're pulling shorts.
No.
You're poking in the belly.
I never stuck. I played
kicking balls.
I baited by the tenets of the game.
Oh, you're such a hypocrite.
That's not true.
You don't put a knee in front of second base with a guy.
Oh, my God. Because you got into more fights on the field.
No, I did not.
Don't be a hypocrite.
Yeah, I get the fights when the other guy wasn't.
No, you're a dirty. Right. You want to win. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, when the other guy did not play the game.
Stop.
Right.
You're such a hypocrite.
Wow.
There was a guy, I remember playing against a guy, like, you know, one of these guys that you know has never played, right? This was like in an over 30 league.
Uh-huh.
I was pitching at the time. So this kid gets in, he's got the high socks.
Right, with
the double wristbands on his forearms, with eye black, and he's like digging in with the right foot. He's got the left foot out, and I'm standing on the mound going, "This freaking guy better get in a box in 3 seconds." And he's everything he's seen on TV.
So I
sizzled the first ball right at his head.
I love it.
And then he went and hit a double off.
He did.
Yes, he did.
Oh, man.
And he glared at me at second base and said something.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, what a J.O.
Well, yeah, but he won. He won, you know. Yeah. I did that to him. He countered.
Yeah.
That's what baseball's about.
Yeah, I hear you. Brother, love you, man. Good stuff.
All right, man. We'll talk to you.
See you, too.